Ladies and gentlemen, welcome here to Love the Land. Today I will present you the case India, EU versus India Brazil. This is a case before the WTO, and I will explain to you the issues of health and the legality of stopping goods in transit under Article 51 TRIPS. So, at first I will present you the case and the measures of issue and the EC regulations which are claimed from India. And in the last part of this analysis, I will show you the conformity with the relevant WTO provisions. After this, I will give you a short summary of the status of the dispute now. And then I will talk about the EU-India Free Trade Agreement and the aspect of public health. So, in 2008 and 2009, the customs stopped in the Netherlands at least 19 times generic medicine on the way from India to Brazil, South Africa, and Latin America. These seized products were medicine against blood pressure, cardiological conditions, HIV, and dementia. The products were only transited, and therefore, the products were only transited through the EU. The customs in Netherlands stopped the goods because of an alleged infringement of patents subsisting in the Netherlands. The reason was a so-called manufacturing fiction. That means that the generic drugs were produced in India under a compulsory license, and by transiting through the EU were treated like produced under in the Netherlands and under the Netherlands law. And therefore, they stopped the goods because of this alleged infringement of these intellectual property rights protected under the law of Netherlands. The consignments were permitted to proceed to the destination country, destroyed, or even returned to India. And therefore, India had 20 billion damage because of these seizures. India claims that the regulations of the EU which authorize or require the seizures of goods in transit on the grounds of an alleged patent infringement. And India considers further that the measures at issue has a serious impact on the access to medicine and on the support of the supply of the population with needed medicine. And so, on the 11th of May this year, India applied for consultations with the EU and the Kingdom of Netherlands before the WTO, pursuant to Article 4 DCU. This is the first step into a formal dispute under the WTO. So I will give you a short overview about the WTO dispute mechanism now. And the consultations are the first step. You have 60 days time to have these consultations, and if there is no solution after this, then a panel will be established. A panel consists of 3 to 5 experts on WTO which are independent from the case. That means that they are not a member of the EU or India, for example. In this time, you have the complaining and the respondent will give their submission and their arguments. And then they have a first hearing, then there is a rebuttal, and experts will be heard. And after this, the panel will give a first draft. That means that the panel analyzes at first the arguments and the agreements and what the experts said, and give this to the complainant and the respondent. In this first draft, there is no findings or no conclusion. The parties have then time to respond to this first draft, and after this there is an interim report which gives some findings and conclusions to the parties of the dispute. Therefore, the parties have also 2 weeks' time to respond to this, and if this is all finished, then there is the final report to the parties. And 3 weeks after the final report, the panel also submits the conclusion and findings to the WTO members. And if there is no appeal, then the dispute settlement body adopts the report or rejects the report. That depends on the DSB. If there is an appeal, then it takes 3 months more, and the appellate body will decide again about some aspects of law and some aspects of the conflict. So, now I will present you the first claimed EC regulation. This is regulation 816 from 2006. This regulation lays down a procedure allowing undertakings to manufacture generic pharmaceutical products and to export them. The undertakings can apply by the national authorities for granting a compulsory license from a patent holder who has the exclusive rights for this patent. This regulation does not give any restrictions on the sort of medicine or the product. The compulsory license is granted when the products are intended to be exported to countries with public health problems. Such importing countries can be least developing countries or countries which are member in the WTO and have notified the Council for the TRIPS. The competent authorities grant the compulsory license in accordance with the national patent law. They must notify the right holder without a delay, and they must verify that the basic administrative requirements of making use of this compulsory license system are fulfilled. For example, they have to check that each WTO member importing country mentioned in the application has notified the WTO in respect of each product which are in the application. And they have to show in the application that the importing country has a public health problem or that the pharmaceutical capacity is insufficient or non-existent. And the applicant have to show evidence that he tried to get the authorization from the patent holder, but this failed. And then it's possible to get this compulsory license from the national authorities. But this compulsory license is strictly limited to the quantities needed and in question to the products which he want to which the undertaking want to export. And this product which is produced under the compulsory license cannot be exported into another country. It can only be exported to the countries which are named in the application. And these products have to be a clearly distinction on these products to the normal patented products from the right holder, so that everybody can distinguish this compulsory license product from the normal patented product. And of course, the undertaking have to make a suitable payment to the right holder. So then India claims the EC regulation 1383 from 2003, and that is a regulation which combat counterfeiting and piracy and clarifies the means and conditions for customs action against goods suspected of infringing intellectual property rights. The regulation enables customs authorities in cooperation with the right holder to improve controls at the external border. This regulation sets up a more efficient system by laying down the conditions for customs action and for actions against goods which are suspected to infringe intellectual property rights. And this regulation extends the scope of protected intellectual property rights. For example, the designs for food or the geographical indications. If the goods are suspected of infringing intellectual property rights, the right holder can file an application to the relevant customs authorities, and this application must include an accurate and detailed description of the goods in question, and have to give any information concerning the nature of the fraud. The right holder, the law, which is applicable when stopping these goods, is the law of the member state where the goods are transiting through. That means, in this case, the law of the Netherlands. And this regulation gives the possibility to stop these goods in transit on the basis of infringement of the law of the Netherlands. And according to this regulation, it is forbidden to re-export the product and to sell or to ship it further to Brazil, in this case, for example, when there is an intellectual property right infringement. Then there is also regulation number 1891 from 2004, but this depends on this regulation because this is only, there are only provisions for the implementation of this council regulation. It clarifies the provisions for implementing the EC regulation and lay down the model form for the language requirements and for the applications. And it is only to harmonize and to standard this this type of application in the regulation 1383. So now I will present you the arguments for the relevant WTO provisions, and for this I gave you a handout that you can have the chance to follow me with my analysis. Okay, Article 51 TRIPS provides for procedures on the external border to stop goods, and the footnote is in conflict here. Because in the footnote it's written that the countries can stop goods in transit, and therefore there are two ways of interpretation. The first possible interpretation is that the infringement of the intellectual property right has to be considered in accordance to the law of the country of importation. That means, in this case, the law of Brazil. And this finds its reason under in an interpretation of the other following articles in the TRIPS agreement, because in Article 52 and in footnote 14 of Article 51, the TRIPS only refers to the country of importation and not to the country of transit. And therefore it has to be also the country of importation in footnote 13. That's also why Article 51 limits the intellectual property right infringement to pirate, copyright, and counterfeit goods, because these infringements you can see prima facie, and patent infringement is not possible to see, or it is not possible to have a prima facie infringement of a patent, because this needs further expert evidence or something. The critic on this interpretation is that the customs authorities in the Netherlands would have to look on a prima facie evidence of goods infringing the Brazil law, and this would violate international principles like territoriality and state sovereignty. And further, the customs authorities are not qualified to look at the law of a foreign nation. And further, this interpretation is also designed to invalidate the EU law. That's why there is a second way of interpretation, and this says that Article 51 TRIPS makes a clear distinction between transit and import. That means that the alleged patent infringement has to be based on the EU law. So country of importation means also country of transit. Because if you would prohibit the patent infringement on the law of the EU, this would directly conflict with Article 51 and the sense of the TRIPS Agreement. There must be a possible way to prevent the release of goods which are infringing patents whilst they are merely in transit. The critique is that to stop these goods in transit is an extraterritorial action, and that they say also that the law of India has to be identical with the law of the EU in order not to get in danger that the goods are stopped. And this is really critical. So, and otherwise there is a violation of Article 5 GATT, because Article 5 GATT provides for freedom of transit, and it prohibits the unreasonable, discriminatory, and unnecessary delay and restriction of goods in transit. But the group who is who likes this way of interpretation said that Article 51 is lex specialis to Article 5 GATT, and therefore there is no conflict between these two articles. Lex specialis finds its reason because footnote 13 of Article 51 extends these border measures also to goods in transit, and here's the aspect of intellectual property rights included, and that is more specific than the whole freedom of transit which is provided under Article 5 GATT. And so they say it is lex specialis. The question is, even if it is not lex specialis, if a violation could be justified under Article 20d GATT. It is established that Article 20d GATT allows measures to protect intellectual property rights as long as they are not discriminatory or disguised trade restrictions. And this is here, in this case, always a question of perspective, because India could say that these measures are disguised trade restrictions, and the EU will say that these are not disguised trade restrictions. And so to answer this question, it's more a question of perspective and of argumentation. So what is the status of the dispute now? The India and the EU held two rounds of consultations, and on October the 7th this year, they resolved the dispute. The minister, Anand Sharma from India, said that the EU accepted the position of India and amended their rules. They got an understanding on this issue. So the EU will re-examine the regulation 1383 from 2003 and will clarify the rule that the seizures of medicine from India will be stopped. So this regulation is currently being reviewed, and there's no information this time what they want to change and how it will look like after the review. But the EU gives a statement that they want to clarify it, that there will be not longer stop the goods, and the EU said they will clarify their provision that no longer the goods in transit from India will be stopped if there is no concrete data that this could be in violation of intellectual property right infringement. So now I will give you some information about the India-EU Free Trade Agreement, because since 2 years, the India and the EU are in the negotiation of a free trade agreement. And that includes also a chapter on intellectual property rights. They want to facilitate the production and commercialization of innovative and creative products between the parties. And the main goal is to achieve an adequate and effective level of protection and enforcement of intellectual property rights. The chapter for intellectual property rights shall complement and further specify the rights and obligations between the parties beyond those under the TRIPS agreement. So they will establish some TRIPS plus measures. And this is the most critical point in this negotiation round, because the Indians are very afraid that the EU will push them into a patent system, and that they will push them into a system where they have to grant patents and to protect the intellectual property rights, and that the number of compulsory license and generic medicine will decrease. And since the EU is a member of the ACTA, it's more a problem than before. Because they are really afraid that the EU tries to push them. And this free trade agreement ignores also that India is notwithstanding its recent economic performance and the expansion of its research and the development capabilities, one of the countries with the poorest population in the world. The higher standards of intellectual property rights can only result in the exclusion from the poorest from essential medicine and supply with health care. The EU said they fully acknowledge this point, but it's also important that there is an effective way of protecting the intellectual property rights, that the European companies can operate in and compete in a legal, secure environment, and that they have the chance to research and develop new patents. And this can only be guaranteed through a strong protection of intellectual property rights. For example, in the agreement, the EU wants to include that the data exclusively principle. That means that it guarantees additional market protection for the original of pharmaceuticals by except because it is not allowed to give these pharmaceutical products a compulsory license. These products which are under this data exclusively cannot have a compulsory license. This is one of the example the EU wants to include in this free trade agreement. This free trade agreement will not deal with generic medicines in transit, because the EU guarantees to review their regulation. And the status of the negotiation is that a number of issues still need to be solved and still need to be discussed. And in regard to the intellectual property rights, the negotiations are still in an early stage. But an Indian minister said that they want to finish the negotiation within a period of 1 year. And then they want to sign this free trade agreement. If this will happen, we will see. Okay, and in the end, I want to give you a short overview about the policy discussion behind this whole free trade agreement and the dispute before the WTO, because India is called the pharmacy for the developing countries. The drugs which are produced in India are the cheapest in the world. And for example, the organization Médecins Sans Frontières relies to 80% from the generica from India. And this is because India don't did not grant patents to medicine. But now they are, or since they are a WTO member, they are forced to grant patents and to establish an intellectual property rights system. And so the producing of cheaper generic version of drugs decreases, and it's more, the drugs get more expensive. And so it's not that easy to develop, to supply the developing countries with new medicine, with the generic medicine. And the drugs produced in India have not only been used for the domestic market, also for the whole developing countries. And the best example is the HIV medicine, because this was the most used product in Africa. And if they have to grant patents now, then the supply with HIV medicine in Africa is not longer be secured. The WTO members are seeking ways to improve the access to medicine, to badly needed medicine for developing countries. And for example, the EC established the tiered pricing system in the regulation number 953 from 2003. And this enabled the European pharmaceuticals companies to sell their drugs, to sell their products to developing countries cheaper. But this is not allowed to re-import these cheap medicine to the EU. And this is the so-called tiered pricing. Yes, and the EU held the opinion that a strong protection of intellectual property rights is necessary to establish the economic system in the EU and the member states, and to guarantee the economic system. So this is the conflict about it, and yeah, the opinions are very very different, because the one hand said, yeah, the access to medicine is more important, and the other hand says, yeah, on the other hand they say, yeah, but we need a strong protection of intellectual property rights. And so the Doha round has it always on his topic to decide which is the best way to supply the developing countries, but to establish also these strong protection.